Take four, the Commodores for Schlitz.
Beer makes him good.
Times a day, America reaches for a Schlitz.
When you're out of Schlitz,
don't out of Schlitz,
you're out of beer.
Zell got you. Oh, God.
You are listening to Just Thinking Out Loud, that podcast that never happens because I can't press record. We try to talk about news, politics, entertainment, current events, pop culture, and general ratchetness, but I can never seem to press record.
What the hell?
Is this thing on? Damn.
What is
it?
Oh, wow.
I told you it's just been a rough one. Good thing you said something.
I
would have gave up. I would have gave up podcasting forever at that point. I've been like, you know what? This is clearly not my calling. Okay. And five, four, three, two, one.
Now they black chick, back on the air. Just thinking out loud, back on the air. Just thinking out loud, back on the air.
Let's go. We're back. Thank you for listening. You can check us out on jtolmedia.com and on Twitter at jtolmedia. Check us out on Facebook at Just Thinking Out Loud Media and the Nerdy Black Chick Talk radio show pages.
You are listening to Just Thinking Out Loud.
You are listening to Just Thinking Out Loud, that podcast where the nerdy black chicks talk about news, politics, entertainment, current events, pop culture, and of course, what? General ratchetness. Did I say that right? General ratchetness?
General ratchetness. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out of it.
We are.
I am Lavinia at She Be Shown Off on Twitter, and I am here with my co-host, A Blue Shadow Rising.
Well, finally, hello everyone. If you can hear me, hello, hello. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Why'd you have to go there? She said, if you can hear me, it is not my fault. It is, but it isn't. It's the heat. So, it's been a long time, and it shows. We recorded last night, but I didn't capture any of it. I don't have to explain myself to anybody, so just know it happened. And it almost happened again. Why? Okay, so you can follow me on Twitter at Shibi. See, I can't even, like, I'm not even, like, in the right. I'm just like, you know what, damn it. Just follow me on Twitter. I ain't saying nothing on it, but every once in a while, I will drop a nugget of some bullshit that might entertain you or whatever at Shibi Shownuff. I have an Instagram. I don't like Instagram, so you can follow me if you want to, but I ain't doing nothing on it. I got a Tumblr account. Ain't doing shit with that either. We got a Twitter account for Just Thinking Out Loud Media. Just at JTOL Media. Ain't doing nothing with that either. We got a page on Facebook that we do stuff on. The Nerdy Black Chicks Talk radio show page. So if you want to see, you know, what we're posting and be current with the conversation that we are having, then follow us there. Damn.
Don't keep it that real. Don't keep it that real. Don't.
Oh, man.
Too real. We're keeping it too real podcast.
I'm just thinking out loud, and I'm thinking this bullshit.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Disclaimer, just letting you know, this podcast will not be for anyone under the age of 18 and who have ears that are sensitive to adult language.
Yes.
If you are looking for political correctness, you might get a little of it, but don't count on too much. Oh. I don't care today. I just want to get this shit over with. I'm so mad.
Oh, damn. This is the angry Nerdy Black Chicks podcast.
And I just been posting something yesterday about how just because I might be angry don't mean I'm an angry black woman. Well, damn it, today I'm an angry black woman.
Shit.
Oh. I'm aggravated. The angry black woman. I'm just aggravated, man.
Aggravated woman. You remember on Martin they had angry man and aggravated man?
Yeah, I'm aggravated man. I'm aggravated woman. That's what I am.
Oh, God.
Did we say where you could be followed at on social media?
Oh, my God. Listen, guys. Listen, I'm not the aggravated one. You can find me on Facebook at Regina Rosin and at Instagram or Facebook. I mean, why do I keep saying that? You can find me. Just follow me on Instagram and I'll follow you back. Look up Bujato Rising. Damn it. We gotta get that.
Gotta get it together.
When we say general ratchetness, we mean ourselves a lot of the time.
Pretty much.
Because we are the most ratchet. We are the struggle cast. We're just gotta stop calling ourselves.
That's what we should call it.
We are the struggle cast.
The Nerdy Black Struggle Cast.
We're nerds that struggle with all kinds of issues, especially technology.
Okay. Last night, we were going in.
Trust me, you guys would have loved it. We were going in. And all of it disintegrated.
All of it was just gone. You look at it and you're like, are you serious? Did this just happen? And I could laugh about it last night, but I was mad.
Yeah.
And then this morning, it took an hour to get to this point. An hour. I've been trying to set up this call for an hour.
Yeah. True story.
True story. It's been a month. Maybe it just wasn't supposed to happen. We just went against fate and
yeah,
we are recording a podcast. It was not meant to be recorded.
Right. Well, that's the ghost of Rachel Dizelle. She's like, you ain't going to talk shit about me.
Oh, we going to talk shit about you.
She said, uh-uh. Y'all not gonna talk about me. I'm black.
Because I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black and the black and I'm black, y'all. Black, black, black and the black, black, the black and the black. And I'm black and I'm back.
Oh, God.
Bitch, you tried it. So, we missed a lot and we're not going to catch up on it. Because there's just too much to catch up on.
Yeah.
Killings, shootings, police brutality.
Oh, yeah.
Floods, flood damages, escaped criminals.
Escaped animals from zoos eating motherfuckers up. It's been wild.
Yes. It's the end times, damn it. When you start, you look out your window and you see a damn rhinoceros.
Yeah, he
looking at your car. You're like, what the hell is going on? This cannot. It's got to be. Is it in Revelation to say that the rhinoceros was going to be tearing up the tires of my car?
Revelations. The coming of the Bruce Caitlin Jenner will signal the end.
That was it.
The end.
That was it.
Humanity. Sorry, guys. And this is not going to be politically correct either. So just so you guys know, and come on, you listen to our podcast, you know us, we keep it 100. You know, a lot of times we don't agree with popular whatever's going on. So just if you're offended easily, it's time to turn off the button.
Basically. Because don't send any emails or nothing checking me on the proper pronouns and shit. Don't do it. been interested. When I got hip to Bruce Jenner, it was when Bruce Jenner was Bruce Jenner. He was a dude then.
Man.
And so the switch to Caitlyn and she and all that gonna take some time. I don't have anything against it. I'm just saying it took me months to stop writing my maiden name when I signed it. And it was March and I was still putting 2014. Mm-hmm. So if you think because Bruce Caitlyn suddenly splashed all over Vogue magazine, then I'm just gonna switch up pronouns because that's what that would be nice. Get over yourself. I'm just not that interested right now.
Right.
I mean, congratulations. He looks great. Whatever you want to say at this point, she looks great.
Yeah.
So great. Congratulations. But me on my pronouns and calling her Caitlyn all the time because I'm going to slip up and I'm going to go back to Bruce. Right. Oh, well.
And we were talking about that last night when we were recording.
Last night. When we weren't recording.
Oh, yeah. When we weren't recording. The fact that, you know, the big story in the news lately has been the rise of trans nation. Just trans everything is coming out. And it is hard for people who, like myself, don't really understand what exactly transgendered is. This is new to me. And, of course, I'm all for equality, and I think everyone should be treated fairly. I have nothing against transgendered people. I hope they get justice, get to live the lives they choose. I'm just saying, me personally, I don't really understand it. And right now, they've had a couple specials on Dateline, which I have watched, where they have children as young as 6, 7, saying, "Mommy, I'm a boy," or "Mommy, I'm a girl." And transgendered, I guess, revelations or coming to yourself as transgendered is happening younger and younger and all over the place. It's been going on for years, decades. I mean, as long as humanity, I'm sure there's been people like this, but it's just being brought to light for people like myself who wasn't familiar with the transgender community and still isn't. So for Bruce Jenner to make this change and be on the cover of Vanity Fair, you know, obviously there were speculations for months that he was becoming a woman, but it to me was more like a television generated kind of publicity thing. And now we're just made to be like, well, this is what it is. Accept it and be politically correct right now. And it's just, it's kind of too much. You know, I think people need to be given a time to kind of digest this, like myself. I need to digest it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and just like anything else in popular culture and in society, things and people evolve and it just becomes another thing.
Yeah.
Something that's no longer that big of a deal. Right. But when it comes with a big old fanfare like that, then it's going to happen. And my thing was, like, I just wasn't pressed for the Bruce Jenner story.
Right.
Especially somebody who's got so much privilege. And he's got privilege that the average run-of-the-mill transgender person may never have in their entire life. Like, all the money, all the fame, all the support that he had, the average, you know, the average person probably would not be able to access all that. For him to kind of be the poster for, you know, the poster woman now for transgender was just, I don't know. It was like you said, it's like, of all people, another Kardashian. It just seems like a natural progression for the family. Kardashian family. You know, because it's one more thing for them to do and top the list. I guess the next person is going to be like a half person, half mermaid. That's the only thing the Kardashians can do to top themselves at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the whole thing. Over the last couple of weeks, if you've noticed on social media, people have been really angry if you say anything negative about Bruce Jenner and his change. And I've been accused of being transphobic by people. People have been, like, off the hook about it. And it's not, it's like, if you say anything to question the what's going on, to ask a question, to kind of understand it better, you're labeled automatically, you know, a phobic or some type of, I don't know, like you're a negative person for even asking a simple question. People are going hard in the paint. Like over the last couple of weeks, there's been people, like I said, there were people unfriending friends for speaking up or asking a question or making a joke about Bruce Jenner. And it's like, damn, y'all are going so hard for somebody you don't even know. You know, number one. Number two, it's like, you can't even ask a question now. And I don't know where this has come from, this fervor to defend Bruce Jenner's change so much so at the cost of everything. Like, people were going so hard, and it's like, damn, I just have questions about it. I have questions about the fact that, like you said, here's a person who came out, he's insulated by money, he's on a show for years that gets all these great ratings. The Bruce ponytail has been a storyline on that show for a while, and now he comes out and he's on the cover of Vanity Fair, of all things. He wins the Arthur Ashe Award for courage in sports, and it's like, I don't, how much of this is, I mean, obviously he's genuinely wanting to be this woman, but I mean, to me, it just came across as weird, and I was like, I have issues with it. But you, God forbid you say that now. You know, people have a problem if you have an issue with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think people are real quick to stick phobe on something just because you may not be either.
It's like they're doing, people are popping out of nowhere with this like allegiance, and like I was saying to you, it's kind of like instant activism. Like any cause that comes out, motherfuckers be going hard. It's like just add water and cause and stir, and you've got the instant activist who's like, you can't say anything about it, you can't question it, you can't post a meme. People are ready to tear, and it's troubling because it's black people on black people, as usual. We ready to cut each other apart, man. Like, oh, no, you didn't say nothing about no damn Bruce Jenner. Do you know this, man? Like, why are you going so hard? You could be calling names and going hard and disrespecting each other. For what? Like, why are you super battery packed up? Like, why is this battery turned all the way up in your back and now you're, like, the super activist? And then, well, not a week later, a new trans thing happens and you're just as hardcore defending that stance. Like, do you even think about it before you are instantly out there, instantly activate activism? Like, come on.
And how hard in the paint is Jenna going for trans right now?
He done moved on. He's filming his show, got his girlfriend, he's probably out dating, he don't give a damn. Meanwhile, black folks in the hood, the unfriended cousins and brothers, I ain't speaking to him no more. Like, you ruined, right? You changed your whole family structure because you going hard for Bruce Jenner and his or her or someone didn't call him or her and you mad. Like, come on, man. Like, we gotta, this social media society driven, social media driven activism has really, like, shot up so much and burnt up so much. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's annoying. It's been so annoying. I know you guys are sick of it too. It's annoying.
But in the meantime, you brought a story to my attention about a young transgender girl. He was a boy, but what, trans? See, and that's where I'm like, and you know what? People don't even get on me like, you need to do your research. You need to Google. Look, I'm not going to become the internet expert on all things, whatever. I can't keep up with all the names. I can't keep up with all of the labels. I'm doing the best I can, just like the average person. So if you're expecting for Lavinia, she be showing up to come up and know all the letters and the hyphenations and the euphemisms and the correct terminology. It ain't gonna happen just yet. I'll learn, but it ain't gonna happen overnight.
Right.
And I certainly ain't losing no sleep to try to get it. But anyway, out of, what was it, in California?
Yeah, this happened in 2008. And so this is the thing, like, we were talking about white privilege when a lot of this stuff, because we were going to talk about Rachel Dozell and her white privilege, and she's transracial, I'm doing air quotes, and you've got Bruce Jenner coming out with his transgender, you know, thing, and they're being embraced. People are defending them hardcore and saying we need to do this. They're not the first ones to come up with any kind of stuff about sexuality and racism, but they are being embraced in a way that minorities tend to not be embraced when we come out saying we're anything but what society paints us to be. So this is in 2008. A young boy by the name of Larry King was shot in the head while he was at school by another classmate. I think Larry King was 14 years old when he was murdered, and his classmate was 15. And it was basically a hate crime. The little boy grew up in foster care and all kinds of that, like, just lived a very troubled life. And he finally was placed in an actual group home where he felt comfortable being himself. Now, all throughout schooling, he had been picked on for being gay. And then when he got into this group home, he found friends. Now, this is a little 14-year-old boy who had no friends, no family, nothing, gets picked on for being gay, found some friends, and he confided in them that he wasn't just gay, but a woman. He said he was a girl, and not just a girl, he said he's an African-American girl. So in the documentary, it's on HBO, it's called Valentine's Road or something like that, but you can check it out if you want to, but it's very interesting because it kind of, with all this trans realization that's going on now and embracing this happened in 2008. So this little boy was kind of a pioneer and died for it. They were going through his stuff, and he had drawn pictures of himself basically as a black girl. And so what happened to get him killed was this bigoted little 15-year-old white boy who it come to find out was like really into Nazis and kind of very racist, not kind of racist. The school system didn't know how to deal with this little boy, Larry King, coming to school dressed like a female. And close to Valentine's Day, they played a game where you have to tell your Valentines you love them or you like them if they pull your name out of the hat. And they pulled the name out of the hat, and Larry King, this little tiny Hispanic boy, walks up to the white boy and tells him, will you be my Valentine's, whatever. The white boy is so offended that he goes home and gets a gun. The next day comes to school and shoots the little Larry King in the head twice. And what I thought was really impactful and just kind of brings what's going on now with the whole transracial, transsexual, is the white boy said the reason he killed him, he was going to kill him, but he was sitting there in class with a gun, he was nervous, and then when he heard Larry King tell someone, don't call me Larry, call me Letitia, he said that just set him off. So he was angry that he was a female, a black female on top of it, and he shot him in the head. And, you know, I guess it was a big story back when it happened. It went to trial. The first trial was a hung jury. And this documentary shows that the white jury, most of them, sided with the white killer. And they said that this boy was, Larry King, the little transgender boy, was bullying the white boy. And why did he have to be so flamboyant? And he shouldn't have said, if I were him, I would have felt the same way and felt threatened. So it's just like when people of color come out as something. Now, this is an extreme case, but it kind of brings all this stuff into an intersection. Like, this is a little boy who's Spanish, who thinks he's a girl, feels he's a girl, and not only a girl, but a black girl. And instead of being embraced, he's killed. And when his court case comes to trial, a jury of white people say, well, I can understand why anybody would be offended by this. Now, yeah, this is in 2008. It went to trial in 2011. Eventually the killer pleaded guilty and got 21 years. But this is before all of this, and I guess society is just catching on, but it just brings to the point when black people or minority people come out as whatever they are, they're not embraced like this. And now you have these celebrities like Bruce Jenner, who's being applauded, he gets the cover of Vanity Fair, he's insulated by his money and supported and championed and then supported die hard by black people. So it doesn't feel right. You know, a lot of the stuff doesn't feel right. And I feel like if it's going to be good for them, it needs to be good for everybody.
And that was one of the the points that you and I were trying to make on one of our threads, is that at the time, it seemed like everybody was making the argument that if this person, talking specifically about Bruce Jenner, didn't feel right in the body that he was in, he should be celebrated for having the courage to fully commit and come out, not only with his feelings, but he also made the transition completely. And so he should be praised for his bravery. And it's like, okay, well, if you say that, then how come that doesn't apply to everybody with all the different feelings and conflicts that people feel within about themselves, where they feel like they're not in the right body? Or not even that they don't want to be the person that they are, but they just don't even like their features. And so if they get a change, a small change, like when somebody gets maybe so much as like a nose job, you're like, she got a nose job. She got a facelifted. But a guy just has all of his man giblets cut off and puts titties in. It's like, oh, that's awesome. So, you know, how is it people get to pick and choose? Who gets to be celebrated for being their quote unquote authentic self? Which brings me to Rachel Dolezal and how now we suddenly have a conversation about this white woman who wasn't comfortable with being white, and how we need to have an open discussion about people being transracial when I don't know how long it's been that black folks have been comfortable in themselves and felt like they wanted to be more white in order to fit into a white society, and got called all kinds of Uncle Toms and Sambos.
Yep.
Sambos and coons. And then you got white folks who ain't even gonna let them in, so don't even think about it.
Right. You know, when you talk about Rachel, it's so many, and we're gonna get to the deeper levels, but just on the outside, how people are like, oh, it's okay and I'm not madder. I saw a really stupid meme that made me mad. Because full disclosure, I'm not as mad about this situation as you are. I'm not really as mad about it. I don't really care that much about it. I wish it would just go away at this point. But one meme that did piss me off, and something you brought up, is the fact that there are a lot of black men kind of somehow finding a way to bring down black women in this process. So there's this meme of Rachel Dolezal with her weave. She admitted yesterday it was a weave with the curly hair weave thing going on. And then pictures of black celebrities like Beyonce, Ciara, and somebody else with like blonde weave. And the meme said, y'all mad at that, but y'all do this. And it's like, why can't we focus on her lies and deception and what she's doing without bringing black women into it? And since you want to bring black women into it, then let's have that discussion. We're not mad at her look. You guys have been the one that have focused on the fucking, it's not about the look, it's the lie. But we're talking about our looks and our weave. You guys, people attack black women for their choices. We're fine. If I want to wear a blonde weave tomorrow, I might. I do that in the summertime a lot. I'm less black. And people look at me as less than if I rock a perm and not an afro and a dashiki. And we can't do that. We can't change our look and be accepted. People look at us as less than. She can change her look. She can wear a curly weave. She's wearing a weave. She admits it's a weave. And people are like, well, what's wrong with that? It's okay. Don't hate on her for that. And it's like, it's not that I'm hating on her, because like I said, I'm not mad at the girl. But if we're going to have this discussion, then if we're not going to be mad about that, her changing her look to fit into a identity that she says she wants, then why can't I change my look for fashion without being less than black?
Because you're black?
Right.
that's just the answer.
Yeah.
White folks have that privilege that they can bounce back and forth and do whatever it is that suits them and benefits them. So now that this whole transracial thing is popping up, it's now only because it's a white lady that wants to claim the black identity. Mm-hmm. Now, we had brought up like when Michael Jackson had he chemically altered his skin. Now, whatever, he might have had vitiligo, but vitiligo does not do everything that he did to himself. Mm-hmm. The hair just kept getting straighter. The nose kept getting skinnier. The lips kept getting skinnier. The skin is to the point where he's almost got a blue glow to him. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, he couldn't even pass for albino. He was just... Yeah. it was just a range kind of color. But whatever. The right. point is that even now in this great time of accepting everybody as they are, supposedly, unless you fall into a certain category, even in this time, if Michael were alive today and he showed up looking like that, he would still get ridiculed. And it would not be anything about being transracial. It's self-hating.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. White people can be transracial. Black people, it's just self-hate. Ours is real simple. You got to hate yourself. But she don't. No one has. I have yet in all her interviews, I've never heard anyone, even on Facebook, I've never heard anyone say anything about her possibly hating herself. Do you know what I mean? And that's a possibility. I'm not saying that's what it is, but you don't even hear that kind of talk surrounding her change. And I think that would be frightening for white people to kind of accept that she hates herself as a white woman. They'd be like, why? We're great. But, you know, I mean, that's not even being discussed, you know? So, I mean, here she is. She's been lying about who she is for pretty much, they said not just a decade, but for the last 20 years, she's been pulling out a fraud that she's a black woman. She was the head of the Spokane NAACP. She attended Howard, and she's just got a convoluted story. She was, you know, some hippie chick who came there and loved painting black people. Then she sued the school for discrimination because they didn't treat her fairly as a white woman. And then she just dissolved into a black person. She just said, fuck it, I'm just gonna stay down here and do hair. She's like, I'm a, you know, put my weave in and do hair and say I'm black. And now she worked her hustle into being the head of the NAACP Spokane chapter. She was on the board for the civilian board for police, I guess, not brutality, but like police complaints in her city. So, you know, she was doing the thing, and that's the thing. She was doing whatever she was doing when she was in the NAACP, and those black people had no clue she was lying. So whatever her act, and that's my other issue with it. Her act was so good. It extended so long, and no one knew. I mean, she was just coming across as a mixed person. Not that black people would, I don't think, like we've said last night in the show that never was, black people wouldn't have cared anyway. She was a white chick. You know, she was, mm-hmm. she joined the NAACP as a white chick and said, look, this is who I am and I'm rocking hard for y'all. We would have embraced her. We embrace everyone. We're not that group. As a culture, black people always accept people. So you don't have to worry about that with us. But she lied about it and nobody was the wiser. Whatever she was doing, she was real. She has two black kids. She was married to a black man. I think she's with a black man now. So she really kind of dug into her role.
I would like to hear from some of the people that were side-eyeing her from the beginning. Because I don't believe, because, you know, they say you can fool some of the people all the people some of the time. You can't fool everybody all of the time.
Yeah.
And I know she could not have fooled all of them. There were people who probably just was like, okay, you know what? I ain't going to say nothing because I can't prove it. But I would love to hear from the people that was like, nah, from the moment that she started talking about black hair and she was talking about idea, she never experienced it. That's when I said, this ain't it. Now, and no one is faulting her for loving the culture and loving black people. I think it's wonderful when people do that. You have to learn to appreciate other cultures, and we learn and we glean from each other and we kind of exchange ideas and that's how things get better. There's no problem with that. My problem is the lies, the deception, the infiltration, and basically just taking what you want because you can't be, you don't want to be excluded. From what I understand, when she was going to college, was just regular old Jan Brady. She's walking around campus, painting black people, loving life, wanting to be accepted in a way that she was just not. And I almost feel like she was like, well, damn it. You, you're gonna love me. That's how I'm feeling. Like, oh, she couldn't just be walk alongside. She felt like she had, she was entitled to it somehow, to this culture that she loved so much. Now, I started to write something before we came on, because when we did the show last night, and almost kind of I'm glad it didn't happen because I had so many thoughts in my head that was completely everywhere.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, I just sound like a bumbling idiot. And nothing was coming out. So I don't know. Maybe I had the foresight that it was going to be awful and didn't record. But anyway, so just I guess, pick up points from it. And I guess maybe I should publish it. I don't know. But I'm just saying that, like, continuous appropriation of Black culture by white people in this country left us asking the same question. Now, think about it. Every time Iggy Azalea won an award and they tried to call her the queen of hip hop, and then Macklemore came out, and then they started dancing, and now you got these dance competition TV shows and movies that used to be Black people. I mean, we grew up on Beat Street and shit and Electric Boogaloo, and now all of a sudden you've got white people dancing, having dance offs. And the question kept coming up, can we have anything?
Yeah.
Can we, Black people, have anything that we consider that is ours and part of our culture? And I think the answer is now abundantly clear, that Black people can have anything that we value.
Yeah.
If it's negative, if it's bad, unpleasant, unbecoming, unsavory, unappealing, we can have it. We can have the short end of the stick, a hard time and a hard way to go, and the bullshit, we can have all the bullshit our arms can hold.
Yeah.
But the moment we value something and they can see the good in it too,
they want
we have to share claim to it. Yeah. We have to share ownership.
Sure.
So Black American descendants, I'm talking about, you know, us, Black American descendants of slaves, we've been disconnected from our original culture. And white people took everything that made us a people, including the very word person. And our people were property and less than human. And I mean, you cannot not be a people. Like, you can't be less than human if you have a culture. So what did they do? Beat it out of us, raped, snatched, and snuffed it out of us. But they did give us one thing. We were allowed to be Black. We were allowed to be Black. Couldn't be anything else but Black. And so thanks a lot. We're Black, subhuman, and a cultureless people, and that is what America thought of us then. So now, not even 200 years since the quote-unquote end of slavery, you know, the one that we know of in the history books, in the textbooks, because it does still exist. Mm-hmm. Just not on the plantation that we saw in pictures. We've continued to be Black. So we've been Black through Reconstruction, Black through Jim Crow, Black through all the bullshit, and never not once has anyone wanted to share in that Blackness during that time. You hear white people talking about, I want to be Black too. Who wanted that? Nobody, they didn't want that. So, but of all that, we managed to rebuild and recreate and define the Black title that was given to us. And we built on that darkness a beautiful legacy. It's one of strength, courage, tenacity, love, forgiveness, acceptance, and through our pain and trials, we created music and poetry. We express ourselves and our experiences, our Blackness, through our creativity in so many ways now. Mm-hmm. And white people see it. They're supposed to set the trends and the standards and of beauty and success and all that, because they're the dominant society. We're supposed to assimilate to their standards, not the other way around. And we've always been told that we don't measure up to their standards, but yet now we're finding that their trends and standards look an awful lot like ours.
Yeah.
And when we try to reclaim it and say, no, that's not everybody's, they say, well, it's good. We like it too. So now you got to share ownership of that.
Yeah. So
hip hop, fashion, theater, dance, food, architecture, you name it. If Black folks once claimed it, when it became something that other people liked instead of enjoying it and respecting its roots, it's been co-opted. And now that we finally laying claim to the Black that they gave us, now that we're openly saying that Black is beautiful and Black girls rock and we love our Black men and our Black boys and we love our nappy hair, we've embraced and value our Blackness, we're now being told that you can't claim that either.
Well,
and that's why I'm disgusted by this woman who claims that she loves Black people so much. She's doing so much for civil rights while sitting in front of a camera and smugly telling us that we don't have the right to claim our Blackness anymore. She loves it so much. The definition of black being, being black can't be what we've spent nearly two centuries to create it to be, because she couldn't comfortably fit in it. So she jumps into the last 10 years of blackness, and now she's going to define it for us. Sitting in front of the camera and say, oh no, that's not just what blackness is. Bitch, how do you know?
Damn.
Did you help build blackness? Did your mother help do it? Did your mother's mother help do it? No, you jumped in the last 10 years, put some damn straw curls in your hair, signed up for the NAACP, painted some pictures, and now you are going to tell black people what blackness is. Bitch, have a seat.
That's why. Ooh, she be showing up. Damn.
See, she is the champion of civil rights. She's the one who's doing so much for black people, but she's telling us that we can't even define our own experiences and call it black if it doesn't work for her. It's not enough for her to enjoy our culture. She wants to claim it as her own. And she doesn't feel she needs our permission or our blessing to do it. It's the continuation of a trend. We can't dictate to white people who is white and who they should call kin. If we could, we wouldn't have people who had a birthright to claim the DNA that actually connects them to whiteness as passing as white. Because have you ever heard of a biracial person passing as black?
No.
You never saw, oh, she passing as black. No, she's got black in her, so that makes her black. But the whiteness makes her pass as white. And here she is with no DNA connection that we know of. And she's just going to claim blackness.
Well, hold on now. Today.
Yeah, exactly. Now she's questioning whether she... Bitch, sit down.
Jesus.
Every time you turn around, she comes up with... She's got answers for everything. You got to watch her. I was watching her do an interview, and somebody was asking her questions. And it was a black girl, a student, that was asking her questions about the black experience. And she would always ask her... She would answer questions with a question, almost like she was fielding for the right, like how she should craft her answers, trying to pull from this person that's asking her question exactly how she should craft her answer to make it fit, to make it right. It's almost like she couldn't even pull from her own experiences. She had to keep drawing stuff from this woman that's asking her questions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, girl, stop. So anyway, let me go ahead and finish this up. And I you know what? I realized I probably got a lot to write. I haven't even finished it. But I was just saying that Rachel feels so entitled to our identity because it makes her feel some kind of way, so much that she just donned it. She put it on, spoke with self-appointed authority on things she only knew at a surface level. She hopped in and installed some straw curls after black women in masses was beginning to love their natural curls. But this was after they spent a lifetime hating them because it wasn't good hair. So she don't know about the struggle about coming to love yourself as a black person after you spend most of your life being told it's not good enough. But yet she wants to jump in now and tell me what the black experience is. Oh, she said she just went there with it. This is not a role. This is life. You do that when you shadowing somebody, when somebody says you about to play another role, you're going to play a psychopath. Well, I went there with it, and I went out, and I started cutting people up. I had to go there with it. It's not an act. You don't practice and play at it.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I still got more to say and more to write, but her attitude and the way that she just sits there, it's like just bubbling and boiling over with white privilege. And hardly acknowledges it. Somebody asked her, and they were like, you do realize that you do have some white, you've got a lot of white privilege that you're operating in right now. And even then, she still wouldn't acknowledge that. Mm. So she's disrespectful. And it's almost like, it's the same thing over and over again. And the thing is, she knows she's going to get away with it. And she's going to capitalize on it. And there's going to be brothers caping for her for it. And so she's in a good place. She's Paula Deen right now. Black folks are mad, but she'll be all right.
Yeah.
Anybody mad about Paula Deen anymore? She's still making money. She's fine. This woman right here, who does it with no apologies and no respect for the heritage and the ancestry of people who've had to build to make black something that meant something to us now. And so now she's just going to step in and co-opt it and tell us and dictate to us what it is and how we should accept it. That's why I'm having a hard time accepting her and whatever it is that she's saying. She colored herself with a brown crayon. So what? I colored myself with purple. I don't think I'm a damn grape.
Oh, God.
So there you have it. That's why I'm personally mad about it and I'm offended by it, because it's still somebody white who's telling us that we can't even have a claim to our identity. She's going to define it for us so that she can fit in it whenever she is ready to fit in it, in the way that she wants to fit into it. It would never work the other way around. Not that I would ever want it to work the other way around. I would not want to tell white people what whiteness is. I don't know that experience. I'm married to a white man, but damn if I could tell him what being white means to him and what his experiences are. You got some white people who feel like part of the white experience is constantly being accused of being racist. And then I, on the other hand, might say that part of the white experience is being racist. But just because that's what I say, it is not, is I can't tell them what their experiences are. And she shouldn't feel that she could tell us what our experiences are. Because at the end of the day, honey, you've only been black for, supposedly, quote unquote, black for, but it was a facade. It wasn't real. You don't get to tell us that now that we know the truth, that we're just going to accept you. Could you imagine that? Get this, right? Check this out. Bugetto, how about we see this family reunion, right? And they're getting it in. Food, dancing, everybody having a good time. So I roll up. We're going to roll up in this family reunion and we're going to have a good time. It's the Johnson family reunion. Hey, getting it in. I'm going to help clean. I'll help clean up afterwards. I'll even help watch some of the kids and stuff. Mind you, I don't know these people, but I like it and I want to be a part of it. And then hey, are you a Johnson? I'm not a Johnson. I'm not going to correct you. I'll just keep on moving and I'll pretend I'm a Johnson. And then when they find out my ass ain't a Johnson, what do I say? Well, I had the experience, so I'm going to take the last name. Thank you. Because being a Johnson isn't just about being a Johnson, because I got to experience it. So I'm going to take that last name. It's mine now. I'm going to tell you what your family is about because I got to participate. Now, who the hell? That damn family reunion would break out in the fight and I'd get my ass whooped. Both of us would get dragged the shit out of there.
Right.
It's the same thing. You don't get up there and just start dictating to folks because you figured you were part of the experience. This is one of the few things that we have, is our identity. You want to take the music, want to take the clothes. But if you're okay with it, folks, if you're fine with her doing that, then let me say this. If you're good with her just being black because she did the right thing, I want nobody to get mad when they find out Justin Bieber is playing King Tut in the next movie. You enjoy wearing your mini buns on your hair. Mm-mm. By Marc Jacobs. You enjoy all of that because at this point, that's what it is.
Well, I mean, all right. You know what? I'm not going to let you go off the deep end here. Don't call Justin Bieber King Tut. Don't call him.
Why not? It's art imitating life.
But you know what? You're right. You're right. You're very right about this. I'm saying that I'm one of those people who are not totally angry at the girl. Because in my view of it, I'm not giving her that much power. I just don't. I don't feel like she's dictating anything. She fooled some people, but all the people, she's not taking away my blackness because she lied about being black at all. She can't. And even if 100 Rachel Dozells come out and rock a blackface for another 10 years, they can never take our culture, because our culture, our experience will always be, and like you said in the beginning of this, this is what they've always done. And they still can't drain us of that black or the berry juice that they try to get out of us. They've been doing that since the slave ship. Before the slave ship, when they came to Africa and they stole our education and all the stuff we've had, they've always wanted. And Rachel isn't the first. She's not going to be the last. There's plenty of them. And they'll do it till the end of the time. You know, when they're going to stop doing it is when we're all black again, because that's where the society is heading. I don't believe this whole shit that we're all going to be multi-racial racist before. I believe that in the end is how it's going to be in the beginning. We all came from Africa. You can't get rid of our genes. We are the dominant gene. We create white out of black all the damn time. I guess that's why she passed so long, because there are black people that look like that, and in fact lighter. So I'm not gonna give this heifer that much power. She's a psychopathic liar. She did it to get some type of gain. If she's gonna be married to and still raise the black kids, her husband's got to be some type of nut to put up with it. I feel for the kids. I hope the kids are all right. They seem like well-adjusted young black men, but you know, I'm glad she's exposed. I'm glad we're having this conversation, and you know, she's not the only one out there. But you're right. It points out or puts a spotlight on stealing of black culture that's been okay when done under a different name. When Iggy does it, it's okay. She gets an award. When Rachel's doing it for all these years and living, air quotes, as a black person, she's, you know, we've got to question and dissect it. But this is what white people have been doing forever and getting paid off of it. So mm-hmm. It's not different. It's something that's been going on. But again, I'm not going to allow her to steal. Girl, you better. I'm not going. She's not going to steal my damn joy. Mm-mm. I want this story.
It's not about her individually. It's about collectively. Like,
yeah.
She's representative of the greater problem. But then when she's in the spotlight, so now we're focused on her. Mm-hmm. But when you've got black people who are diving to her rescue,
yeah,
saying but she loves black people. It's like no, stop and look at this. Just look at this. Stand back for a minute. Just wipe. Don't worry about the tears. Don't worry about the little white tears. She's okay. She's fine. She's not a damsel in distress. She will be fine. Yeah. You do not have to dive to her defense. But we cannot make excuses and act like it's not that big a deal, especially when it's a big story right now. It's like, here's an opportunity to say, damn it, no.
Yeah.
Because before you know it, like I said, white people are going to be white. And everybody that's not white is just going to be urban. We're just going to be an urban race of non-whites. All of us. Black, brown, red, yellow, purple, orange, red, purple diamonds, blue horseshoes. We all going to be urban. He said we all going back to black birth everything.
Do. I mean, you know, I'm glad that this is out there, and you're absolutely right. And I think that you've taken it to a level where people need to really think about it and, you know, like critically think about what's going on. It is the same thing, just in a different shade of brown blackface. So then, you know, she is an Iggy Azalea. She is someone who is stealing our culture to benefit herself. I'm not going to be mad at the girl. She's lived 10, 20, 15 years telling everybody she's black. I don't know if she's living in a mansion. Her house looked like anybody else's. So I don't see her gaining but so much from it. I don't think she's taken away from anybody enough. But it's not about her, the individual. It's more, like you said, of the whole situation needs to be looked at. And it's not okay. And people need to, like I said to someone on Facebook, she don't deserve no medal. I'm not mad at the chick. I'm not in line with the rest of these motherfuckers giving her out a medal for this shit. She's a liar. She's a fraud. She got caught doing it. And mm-hmm. now we're having a deeper discussion on what it is for white privilege to allow white people to take our culture and our things.
Yep. Because I just can't. When people bring up what she's done for black people, which I still have not seen that resume. He just saw that she's the president of the NAACP. It was like, yeah, what she's doing. I don't know what she's doing. And I'm not going to discredit any work that she did do. Her fighting for civil rights of black people and then at the same time co-opting and dictating to black people what quote unquote the black experience is. Like that, I can't reconcile the two. It makes no sense. Like I cannot fight for gay rights and then tell, look at somebody who says that they're gay and be like, now that's not really what gay is. And I'm not gay. Like, how do I do that? I couldn't do that.
Right.
People would get on me if I did. If me as a straight woman tried to put myself in, if I was placed myself in a position where I was running an organization for gay rights, but then I'm going to pretty much like gay check other people and then tell them what I think my definition is gay is and match it to theirs. And if it don't match mine, then they're wrong.
What, is she telling
How
people,
wild would that be?
Is she telling people they're wrong in their experience of black? Is she?
That's she's why. Saying, when she said, she's saying, I can't remember what she said, but basically she says, that's not what blackness is. These are black people who are saying, no, no, she's not black because she hasn't experienced this, that, and the other thing. She's not black. She hasn't grown up black. She hasn't dealt with it. And her response is, well, it's more complex than that. That's not just what blackness is.
Okay.
She thinks that she's like honorary black for raising black children.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, that's enough with her. I'm done with her.
Okay. Yes, I think the point has been made. I think the point has been made.
That horse has been beat.
Yes, the nerdy black chicks do not approve of this Rachel Dizelle debacle. Do not approve.
No, we do not. We do not.
Negro congregation.
For different reasons.
For different reasons. As usual.
For different reasons. We see it.
We're on the same side. We see it different ways, but that's our usual thing. So, you know, you got both sides of it. You got all sides of it. You guys are going to think about it differently now, you know. So, bam, there you go.
So, whatever. But if you still caping after that, then
after this, then you got something.
You're a chronic case of just, just won't give up. Got a chronic case of the cape. Ooh, I got that cape, man. What's my
look.
What's wrong with you? Ooh, I got that cape. I got it bad too. Woke up with it this morning.
Shit. Look, hopefully y'all aren't caping after this, and you know, we're gonna have to stop instant activism, you guys. Just ad water activism has got to go. Hey, ho ho. Instant
ready
activism.
Ready in 5 minutes.
I understand the impassionate on the issues, but let's stop killing each other and fucking you know, just blindly pledging allegiance to any fucking situation that comes out. And I mean, we're just doing too much. So black people, I mean, we're not the experts on black people. I mean, we're not. That's Rachel Dizelle's job.
Apparently, she's the expert on it now.
But anyway, from where I sit, let's instant activism has got to go. But on a completely different note.
Completely different.
Talking about, we didn't want to give the whole hour to Rachel Dizelle and all these, you know, the trans nation takeover. We wanted to talk about, you know, trans nation being transracial, you know, the transracial epidemic that just popped up. We're going to actually talking about actual black women, actual black experience. And I just wanted to do my womanist reflection on two shoe shows that I saw, one a movie, one actual Broadway show featuring black actresses. And I'll do it quickly because we went a little long. But I just want to encourage you guys to support, you know, our sisters out there doing it. And if you haven't seen these things, check them out. Last weekend, me and the fiance went to New York and we went to see Chicago, the musical. Chicago is one of the longest running Broadway shows. I think it is the longest running Broadway show in history. And full disclosure, I had never seen it on TV. I'd never seen it on TV as many times as it's come on. I'd never seen the little movie when it came out with, I think Queen Latifah was in it, but I'd never seen it when it was out then. The reason I wanted to see Chicago is because I had read the book that the story is based on, called The Girls of Murder City. This all happened in the 20s, and it was a female reporter who was kind of shedding light on corruption and how the media kind of spins people into superstars who are really bad people. What goes on now? You know how the media like makes somebody, can make or break you. If a white person does something, they're a victim. Black person does the same thing. Oh my God, they're thug. You know, that whole thing. She was focusing on the fact that Chicago had never found a woman guilty of murder, despite the fact that they were killing people. And so anyway, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to see this because right now our homegirl Brandy Norwood, a.k.a. I Want to Be Down, a.k.a. Chardonnay, is starring as Roxy Hart. And let me tell y'all, this, it was off the hook. It was really, really good. If you're in New York, the show is going to be running from, it started in April, it's ending in August. August 2nd is the last day. You don't have to get great seats. All the seats are good because it's, you know, it's a small auditorium once you get inside, but it is worth it. She puts on a damn show. And not to say that I was always a Brandy fan before, but not like a die hard, like I could take it or leave it, you know what I mean? But seeing her and how hard this woman works in person, the musical isn't really a singing thing. I mean, that sounds weird because it's a musical, but it's not like power ballads from everybody type thing. But even when you can tell she's kind of tempering down her voice, this woman is so talented. Like, even when she hits you, you know how Brandy has that, she does? Man, even that sound like fucking liquid gold. I was like, I mean, everybody was on her last. Everything she did was, like, amazing. Her as Roxy Hart, she played it funny. I think she added something to it I don't think we've ever seen. I haven't seen the other one, but her being Roxy Hart definitely flipped it. Like, it was something that y'all are gonna love. So, support your girl. If you have the ability to see it, if it's on DVD some point, if it comes out with her starring as Roxy, you got to see it because she killed that role. Literally killed it. And also, it came on HBO a couple weeks ago. We were talking about it on our page, but Queen Latifah starring as Bessie in the HBO little mini movie. And she was playing Bessie Smith, a famous jazz artist from the, I think it was like the 20s too. She was the high, in reality, Bessie Smith was one of the highest paid female artists, period, during that time period. She did the damn thing. And whereas I won't say the movie was like the best movie I've ever seen, I like seeing it because here was a movie about a black woman who was paid, who was successful, but she had her demons or whatever, but it was about her. You know how so often if there's a story about a black woman, it's in conjunction with some other shit, like it's got to be about the civil rights movement or someone else's something. This was about a black artist and just her art form. Just it. Like, it didn't go into, oh, I had to sit in the back of the bus. Yes, she does talk about, you know, the difference between racism and stuff like that. But my girl was getting her bread. She was making sure she got paid top dollar. She was able to buy her home, you know, a family, a mansion. She was riding around in nice cars. She was dating. It was all about her love life. And I just thought that was refreshing because so often if it's a movie about a black woman, it's like a subplot to it that takes away. No, she's the subplot to a major thing. And I just felt like, damn, that was good to see Queen Latifah play this major role. Our girl Monique was in it. She played Ma Rainey. To me, when you know how Monique does. When Monique is in it, it was about Monique. Queen Latifah was playing second to her. I know she was the star, but it was like, damn. You know, whatever, what's her name? Monique puts her, when Monique is in something, she steals the scene. So it was good. The guy who played Omar in The Wire was in it. Mike Epps was in it, and he played it. So it was a good movie, and I just really liked that it was specifically about a authentic black woman's experience, and it didn't give any other, no one stole attention from this black woman's life, and I loved it. So it's on HBO On Demand. Check it out if you can. Support your girls. You know, a lot of times we talk about shows we're watching, and you'll see it on our Facebook pages. We caught a lot of flack for supporting Empire for some reason, even though Empire was fucking awesome. But that's not the only stuff out there. If you guys are watching some good content that's black actors, and or it don't even have to be black. If it's a good show that we can benefit from, share it on our Facebook page. Tell us about it. I'm just telling you guys about it because, you know, we all like good stuff. And if I see something good, I'm going to share it, especially highlighting our talented people. So there you go.
Yep, awesome. Yay!
Yay!
You have to come over to your house and watch it. Have HBO.
Oh, well, come on over.
Is Game of Thrones on HBO?
Yes! Oh my
Okay, God. That's why I've never seen. I've never seen a single episode. I don't even think I've seen a commercial for it.
Oh my God! Oh, the season finale. I'm still okay. It was too much.
It was like that.
First of all, when you get into, you got to watch it from. I think it might be on Netflix, but I hope it's on Netflix. If you watch it from season one, you cannot get attached to any character in this damn show because they kill people like hotcakes. I mean, you may like this person and think they're the star, they're dead at the end of the fucking episode. This person's dead, and then by the end, you're like, no, who's gonna be left for next season? And that was it. The season finale went off. They killed my man Jon Snow with his fine ass. Oh, and they did it Caesar style. They all stabbed him up. I was like, nah. Okay. So that was my movie reviews.
I guess we should have thrown in there spoiler alert.
Well, if you ain't seen it by now, damn it.
I forget. Let me tell you how good I've been about not watching stuff.
Oh,
when Titanic came out. When Titanic came out, mm-hmm. I was so sick of hearing about it because just the build up to the movie, even before it was released, the build up to it was just everything was Titanic, Titanic, Titanic. And then you're constantly hearing that damn song, and then Leonardo DiCaprio, you always seeing him on that damn boat. I was just so tired of seeing it. So I never heard anything. I mean, I tuned anything about that movie out. On campus a couple years later. We're gonna watch Titanic, ain't nothing else on. We're watching Titanic. And, they in the water singing to each other, because he's in the water and she's floating on the one little piece of wood he was able to find for her. My man was frozen and dead. And I was genuinely shocked. Nobody told me Leonardo died. They're like, this movie's 40 years old. You didn't know that?
Oh jeez!
Like everybody else is watching, like, oh whatever. And I'm over here devastated. I'm like, oh my God, they're not gonna be together. You're kidding me? What's the Celine Dion said? They're like,
oh shit.
So even though you said Jon Snow was killed off at some point, I'm going to forget anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna watch them. I'm gonna finally watch it 10 years from now, and I'm going to be genuinely shocked about everything that happens. All of it. Even what you told me. I'm like, oh, they tell him like that? Why'd you tell me? Bitch, I told you. It was a damn podcast. Well, I didn't record it, so I can go back and listen.
Oh, damn.
So, we learned two words today. The first word was two words or phrases. The first one was Atwater activism.
Yes.
Instructions. Get a cause, add water, and stir. The other was transracial, which still isn't really a word, but it's a word. Transracial. Who gets to be trans? Who gets to be trans next?
Oh, Lord.
But I tell you, we're going to find out them damn sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are not yams. Stop calling them yams, but I feel like a yam. It's not a sweet potato, it's a trans yam, damn it.
Trans.
You ain't from Africa, but I feel like I'm from Africa. I'm a yam, damn it.
Lord.
That means I am a fucking yam. Sweet potato. Smutting ass sweet potato. But it says yam on the can. I don't care what it says on the can. You can't declare yourself a yam if you're a sweet potato. And I speak. I speak for the yam delegation. We've been yams all our lives, and ain't no sweet potato coming up in here telling us what yams are, just so you can be one too. You're a sweet potato.
I'm done with you. I can't. On that note, the yam delegation has spoken, and we have left the building.
Hi, you ain't real chocolate.
Oh God,
you're a chocolate derivative.
Oh,
you're such damn thing as white chocolate. You're chocolate or you ain't.
Damn it. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm done with your
I've been chocolate all my life. You don't come up here with some damn white chocolate. Bitch, have a seat. I'm going to show you what chocolate is.
That is the title of our show. White chocolate just ain't chocolate.
You ain't no damn chocolate. You want to be chocolate, you could be on the shelf next to chocolate, but damn it, if I go to and I pick up a chocolate bar and I open up the wrapper and it's white inside, I'm taking that shit back. That is not what I asked for. If it says chocolate on the label, damn it, it better be real chocolate. Otherwise, I feel cheated.
Hey. Oh, damn it. All right. So if our show doesn't offend you guys, then nothing.
I don't know what to tell
you. All right.
So. We've been offensive all our lives.
Started young.
You started young.
That would be a good time to put the clip on the end of this.
Oh, God, no.
No, never mind.
We would lose so many friends.
Okay, yeah, forget that. So,
you thought people gave Justin Bieber a hard time from that video from when he was 15. God, you heard some of the things we said when we were 8.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for downloading and sharing the links, getting the word out about Just Thinking Out Loud and Crazy Nerdy Black Chicks. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at JTOL Media and follow me at She Be Show Nuff. And on Facebook is the Just Thinking Out Loud Media page. That's just where we put episodes and updates about the show. But as far as to getting that water cooler conversation, you got to go to the Nerdy Black Chicks Talk Radio Show page. And of course, Bougetto Rising can't be found where? She's not hearing anything anymore? Okay. So, thank God this happened after we recorded, because I'm telling you right now, if this would have happened any time before that, I would have been over. I would have quit podcasting for good. Wouldn't been nothing y'all could say to bring me back. I would have just hung it up and said, y'all have it. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. And as we always close the show, no matter what time of day it is, when you're listening to us, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, goodbye, and good night.